Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sounds like you got a little hop in your step today.
For sure.
Yeah, and it's not because of the pew, 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 pew.
Yes, how could you not? Now, I want to get your thoughts because we saw this yesterday. Oh, yeah. Actually, I want to get your thoughts about something Corey brought up in the break. If DeMarvion Overshown puts out a note on social media that says 21.
T minus 21.
That means they opened his window, right?
That seems like that would be the suggestion. I haven't heard anything official about it. Okay. But
we're going to have Steven on. We'll ask him about that.
You got him at noon. Is that right?
Perhaps 11:45.
I bet he gives us the answer straight up.
Okay. Well, good, because, you know, he trusts you guys to disseminate the accurate information.
Yep. That's how it's always been.
So what's today? The 20th?
Yep.
So 21 would get us to middle of November?
Yeah. Huh. Or kind of early-ish. That would get you November 10th, which is smack down in the middle of the bye, which means he'd only miss two more games.
And that's what everybody's been saying, you know, keep an eye on the bye. So the end of the bye would be like the 10th?
Yeah. And then
that would be 21 days then?
Yeah, right, okay. When that All week right. starts.
And then the next game is the 17th?
Yep.
My math is
I
right.
I believe that is
something
correct.
Like that. So remember we were talking about it, and I said, well, I don't think they would start him the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Because then in 4 days, is he going to be ready to play again?
Yeah.
So that would make sense if he could get back by then. Then he'd have two games under his belt, assuming he's ready to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then play another game in 4 days. So yeah, that would be pretty exciting to help that linebacker core.
Now, we were just having some fun with this conversation because we saw one yesterday. Is the pick six the most exciting play in football to you?
Yeah, I think so.
I do too.
Did I see one on Saturday that went 99?
Yes!
College game, right? That's pretty amazing. But yeah, okay, and so the interesting thing is, and I was just going to try to bring some semblance to this argument about playing man and playing zone.
Right.
Okay, so the first touchdown, the big play that got the ball down to what, the 2-yard line?
Yes.
They were in man.
Okay.
Okay. And the pick six, they were in zone.
Okay. So kind of a counter argument.
So
right
if
there.
You just do what you're supposed to do is the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
And the play for was it 34? I'm trying to remember. The long touchdown, or not? I keep saying a touchdown, but the play down to the 2-yard line. The the wide receiver, they did a nice switch. They had Marquise Bell lined up over the tight end, right? And the tight end was inside. And when he went outside, the corner picked him up, and then he had to take the wide receiver. And the wide receiver beat him off the line of scrimmage and the single high safety. And it, he only played five plays, but was a Johnny Clark. He was slow getting over to help. So the man coverage, everybody had their man, and that guy beat Bell. But, you know, you don't want your safety in the slot trying to cover a wide receiver. So, they were in man, so that's not the end all, right? And then the zone is not the big problem because where they were with Bland's pick, he was playing off. There was pressure on Mariota, and he floated that pass out. And
the pressure Bland made a huge difference there. Agreed.
Yeah, and he got hit, too.
Yes.
And, you know, Bland was like 8-9 yards off, and then he came running up when he saw the ball floated and – and there he went, right?
I know that the defense just playing better, whether it's man or zone, will always make a difference. But we talk a lot about this with pitchers when we talk about the stress level of your pitch and how different it is when it's, you know, tied versus you're up by three runs. How big of a difference do you think it makes for that defense when the Cowboys come out in the first quarter and they score 17 points and you're like, okay, maybe, I don't know if you think that changes their philosophy or they can be more aggressive, but that always feels like that would be good for the mentality of the defense when your offense just straight away is like points, points, points.
Yeah, and I don't know that you take chances, but yeah, I think there's something to it. But here's where I thought the biggest change was in how they play defense. And, you know, we've been talking about this zone man stuff. My problem was what was going on up front in the front seven, right?
I get that.
And you know, they ran for 216 yards, right? And that had nothing to do with man or zone.
Right.
So I was talking to a few people that actually know the game, and I was going, so what's going on up front? And to me, it looked like the front four were playing catch. They weren't being aggressive, like attacking, right? And so with them playing catch, the linebackers were having trouble filling gaps because there were no gaps. So I saw in this game they were attacking. They were more aggressive, trying to get up the field and disrupt things. And so that allowed the linebackers to kind of fill the gaps with the offensive line having to say, okay, I got to take care of this guy. Because if you remember the Jets game, remember we talked about them double teaming the two inside guys? Well, did you see how active the two inside guys were in this game? And then suddenly, and we also talked about this, I said the defensive ends aren't doing anything against the run. Well, all of a sudden, the defensive ends became more active in this game. Now, is it a one-week thing? Is it the way Washington was trying to block it up?
Maybe
or did
so.
The Cowboys see something, right? And you saw a more active Jadeveon and Clowney and Donovan Ezeruku and even, you know, I saw Fowler flashing, right? And so I don't know if that change created – you know, kind of a back effect there for the secondary, but it sure looked different. And when you only give up 20 points, a season low, right? And I think you had to go back 10 games to find the last time they gave up fewer than 20 points in a game. I'm not giving them, you know, responsibility for the two safeties. So 20 points, that's I can take that in the NFL, especially when my offense is scoring the way this offense is scoring.
All right. You just brought up the safety, and I know in the big picture it didn't end up mattering, but I will never understand ever why when you're at the 1 yard line or if you have a fourth and one or whatever, why you are handing it off 5 yards deep in the end zone.
No, I'm with you on that. It had been my biggest pet peeve in college when I see you needed 1 yard and the quarterback's taking a shotgun snap.
Yeah.
And I say, now you got to gain six.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And we saw that last week on a third or fourth and one for the Cowboys. They handed it off 8 yards behind scrimmage. It's madness.
Right. Yeah. I agree. And I wasn't sure he didn't get out a football length, but they ruled that. I would have challenged it, but maybe lost. But it's only 2 points, right? But it's not just 2 points. It's the fact that they get the ball back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you would just force a three and out after you scored a touchdown. I was like, man, this is going to be a great day. And then after that play, I know.
And that's when the big play, they sprung the big play, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden it changed the perception of what was going on early. But I like the fact that finally they took the ball instead of kicking off and deferring.
Oh, to start?
I don't want that offense on the field first.
Yeah.
It's going to be 7-0. I'll be down. Give me the ball and let me have something to say. Although, the counter to that is maybe they were thinking where they wanted the ball to start the second half with the sun majestically glaring through the stadium.
Are you trying to drive Corey insane? He just turned off his mic. Corey, come back.
Make sure you ask Steven if that was a consideration.
No, I'm not ever talking about it again.
But you know what? It wasn't as majestic as if the doors were shut, so the light was refracting through the glass, right?
I'll be honest. Watching it on TV, I was kind of distracted. I was like, there's all this light on the ground. There were spots where I was like, I can't even see.
Okay.
My TV's pretty nice.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of whenever you would see the Oakland Raiders play.
And they had the dirt.
Yeah, and they had the dirt spots from awkward. Where the A's played. Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of places before you guys were born.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
A lot of ballparks were playing on baseball fields.
Mickey, yeah. The from the 940, the most exciting is the fat defensive tackle touchdown for me. We all forget about that because, you know. But the run game, however... I know that moment was rough, but the run game itself, like, it just continues to grow and build and be good and effective and helps balance out this offense. And having Booker back was nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And you go from what one game you rush for what 31 yards?
Yeah, pathetic.
And then this one you rush for 152 yards.
Love it.
You know, yeah. You know, and I don't know if, you know, you throw in a clunker or you have a good week, but I remember last week talking to Kenny Clark, and he pointed out, he goes, you know, this league is week to week. And, you know, here was a prime example of it. And Jerry even said it after the game. You know, 1 week you get your nose bloodied, and the next week you learn from it, and you get this. So now... consistency, right? Can you consistently do this? Have they found something? Because last week, this time Monday, you wouldn't given a wooden nickel for this team.
Nope.
And now you're sitting there going, oh, they're in second place. Mm-hmm. And they only have one more loss than the first place team that struggled until the second half, right?
Right.
So, and the 3-3 Commanders were supposed to be untouchable. Well, they got touched up, and now they've lost 3 of their last 4 with the brilliance of the coaching staff and the defensive coaches, right?
I mean, I feel like that right now, but like you said, it's week to week, so who the hell knows?
Who knows what'll happen?
Yeah. But at least it was a good week, right?
Yes.
How is Kenny Clark, by the way? Is he all right?
He said afterwards that he'll be fine. They all say they're going to be fine, but he did return to the game.
Yeah.
I saw him. Back in there. So that was, you know, that was encouraging. And even Kenneth Murray, who I thought was more active playing linebacker.
He was. Right?
But again, go back to what I said about filling gaps when there's a gap. And he came back too after it was a leg or ankle. I can't remember. He went out for a couple of plays and then came right back in. They weren't going to keep him on the sideline. So that was good. You saw, keep seeing things from Shamar James, right?
I mean, I think they were going to win anyway, but he had a play that feels like it essentially ended the game.
Yeah, right. He gets sack fumble.
Yeah.
And then that's when, no, that was it. Was no, that yeah. when Daniel got hurt,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's like a triple play.
Yes, it really
Not
was.
Not that he's trying to hurt him
no,
or anything.
And it was just the way that he came down. And now Daniels has an MRI today. And just looking at it, man, that feels like something that's going to keep him out for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? See, this is always, and he wasn't trying to run the ball, right? But he tries to escape in the pocket, tries to prolong plays. And that's the danger of having a quarterback that is elusive, that'll run. He's going to take hits. And the last thing you want is your quarterback taking needless hits, because it starts to pile up, right? And it compounds the beating. And he was taking a beating. They were doing a good job of getting after him. What did they have? What, four sacks, about seven
Correct.
Quarterback hits, something like that. So, yeah, but they were being aggressive. Now, they let him out a couple times. What did he – he ended up with a couple runs. Well, heck, he was their leading rusher, 8 carries for 35 yards, it says here, and a touchdown. So that's all fine and good, but you better gauge on how much of a physical beating your quarterback is doing by doing that kind of play.
Appreciate it very much, good sir. Let's talk again tomorrow.
I'll be here. See ya.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about some AM on the FM?
We got the question of the day, plus two words you never thought you would hear next to each other.
Suck.
Lego and trafficking.
Mm.
Next what? On The Fan.
Kroski Merritt is the back behind Jaden Daniels. Snap is back. Looking left, pump, hit, fumble, sack, strip, fumble. Cowboys are on it. At the 45-yard line. Clowney's on the ball, and we'll see who got the sack.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Shout out to Shamar James. Also, Brock Hoffman will be the guest this evening for the Cowboys Hour. So you want to check that out right here on 105.3 The Fan. And Ian Rappaport is Rappaporting because he was listening to our show
yep.
where we said about 23 minutes ago, the DeMarvion Overshown's 21-day window was opening up. Rappaport confirms we will talk with Stephen Jones at 11:45 or noon to talk a little bit more about that. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it, Corey. I can see you thinking about it. It's time for AM on the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas.
Yeah.
877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. To answer today's question of the day, it's probably better for you to text if you have a mouthful of food instead of speak like Corey did there, but I appreciate the effort there.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
We've got the question of the day plus two words you never thought you would hear paired together. Lego trafficking. I've got the story.
It sounds like you're excited about trafficking, and that's concerning.
No.
Lego trafficking!
Oh, yeah, that's LFG.
Yeah, it's definitely not legal. I never thought that I would see that in a headline, but it's a real story from California, not Florida, surprisingly. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But, gentlemen, I've been seeing all the clips from season 2 of Starting 5 on Netflix, the show. That is surrounding 5 NBA players, Jaylen Brown, Kevin Durant, SGA, Tyrese Halliburton, and James Harden. And I saw one this morning when I was getting ready for the show from James Harden. And it was him and his son, which one, I'll admit, I didn't know he had a son. And two, they were talking to his mom and some of his family members. And they're like, y'all are going to be really surprised this season because you don't know anything about James Harden. Like, you think you know,
but you have no idea.
But you have no clue.
Kind of like Edge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you think you know me. Exactly. So that kind of intrigued me. They're like, you see him at the clubs and you've seen him out and about. Y'all think he's this larger than life character. He's really, really private in his outside of basketball life. He just likes hanging out with his son. That's pretty much all he does.
There was a time when he hung out at the club a lot.
Exactly.
Though. There was a time.
And he even talked about it in that clip that I saw where he was like, having a kid changes things.
Uh-huh.
You know, but he was like, I plan my off season around my son. I plan my time away from the basketball court around my son. I just like spending time with them, which I thought that was awesome. And it's got me intrigued for the rest of this series. So just the idea of this show that follows these people around their sport, but more so away, and you get to learn the person. Who's a DFW athlete you would want to see a series that just follows them around in daily life, and you get to learn more about them?
Corey Seager.
Oh, that's
a really good one.
I don't know enough.
See, I think I would say Jacob DeGrom then.
Oh, yeah.
But Corey Seager is a really good one, too. Is there any part of you that would say Dak? Because you want to see, like, the more human side of him?
Oh, my gosh, dude, yeah. Yeah, Dak is so... The answers are canned. What I'm watching...
Which is probably smart.
What I'm watching on the field, I feel like, is more of what he's actually like. And I'm sure around the guys, he's a lot... he's talks trash, guides. He's all these different things for all the different players on this team. But, Kevin, I think you're dead on with that. That would be absolutely fascinating to see the real version of him.
I think baseball players in general would probably be a popular answer because I just feel like a lot of them don't give that much access because the season is so long and most of their time is dedicated to baseball. It's not just the 162. It's spring training. It's winter meetings and everything. So I think that really any like big name baseball player would be a good one for me.
Do you think that Jerry's day is full of boring meetings or that every meeting is about to be the most intense interaction ever?
So,
interesting.
I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers or anything like that, but how many meetings does he have per day?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
We'll find out.
When he wakes up, what time do you think he wakes up?
I guess kind of my thought is not a lot.
What do you think he does then? Sun's on top of the boat?
I just kind of think he hangs out and is there in case you need a final decision.
So he just sits at his desk?
Yeah.
And waits for somebody to call?
Or like just summons people to chat with him and get an overview of... Like, I think he brings in like all the department heads to give him like an overview. But it's just like those two
of
people.
Overshown.
I don't think he's in the like nitty-gritty meetings. That is just a theory.
Who's in the nitty-gritty meetings?
Depending on what it is.
Because marketing, it's Charlotte.
Okay, yeah, I got you. Steven and Will.
So do you think there was a time that he was in all those meetings?
Yes.
You think they were all intense?
I think that some of them were more fun than they should have been.
He went every single meeting. Problems. He went and looked into a mirror before he went in. He's like, looking in the mirror right now.
The mirror.
Getting ready to walk into this meeting and
Sill. Not really.
Yeah, Corey, I don't think they were intense. I think they were in the star.
Probably.
At Frisco.
Yeah. Good point. Okay. I like it. I'm proud of you, man.
You're stupid.
877. That was brilliant. 881-1053. Frankel and Frankel. Injury attorneys, text on here on a Victory Monday. A DFW athlete you would want to see a documentary following them around and getting to know more about them. I like the phrasing on this from the 903. I need to see if Jamie Benn has an actual life.
He does hockey stuff all the time.
I know
time.
He just recently had a child and there were pictures. He's very private, though. You're right about that. He's very private.
I like this.
You get that, though, right? Like, if you live your entire work life out in front of millions of people, I could see how you'd be like, ugh, no.
Yeah. From the 214, not an athlete, a former one, but very important around here, and I would like this. I'd like to see what Chris Young is up to during the season.
Oh, yeah.
From the 214.
Like, if his life is complicated because he's so tall.
Yeah, that would be funny. Just like how Livy Dunn was posting that she was on a vacation with Paul Skeens.
Oh, yeah,
and he was like hitting his head on door frames in Europe because, you know, he's like gigantic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I never have to deal with that, right, Corey? But let's see.
You're the Livy Dunn in this situation.
Huh. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But from the 209, I wish I had the bank account. From the 209, George Pickens, that is my answer. I want to see what George Pickens does outside of practice and outside of game day. I want to see what his personal life is like, because we all know we saw the video of him on draft night where he's standing there staring at his TV with some incredible posture. But like, I want to see what his friend group is like. I want to see how he interacts with his family and whatnot, because he seems incredibly fun.
Right.
I would love to see what that's like. He invaded the post-game on-field interview yesterday with CD and Dak on the TV broadcast. Like, he's a really interesting character, to say the least, and I would love to see what that is like. From the 940, I would pay to see this. Give me a Wyatt Johnston Living with Pavelski show.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see what that's like.
Odd Couple style, maybe.
Yeah, like life inside the Pavelski house. That would be fun.
I don't know if it was a package like on what used to be, what was the old? Now it's Victory Plus. What was it before? I can't even think of it anymore.
Fox Sports Southwest.
Yeah, they did a package on that a while back because it was playoff time and we were kind of seeing him sitting at the, you know, the big table and them talking. They were playing in the backyard and stuff. But I would like to see more of that. The interaction between those two would have been great.
A couple people saying Trayvon Diggs so they can get the real story on what happened last week.
I'm very interested in what happened.
We're going to ask that.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee you that question gets shut down.
He's a very unique individual.
We'll see how it goes.
And I think unique is an understatement.
A very big understatement. I think him and his brother. That would be a fun one, like a combo series to see Trayvon and Stephon Diggs. And then we could get the answer about the pink substances and whatnot.
You can call it digging deep.
Ooh.
You might want to trademark that real quick so somebody has to buy that off of you.
How do I do that on air right now? I have trademarked digging deep.
That is not how that works.
I wish it did.
You saying it on radio might get you a piece of that ownership, though.
I declare bankruptcy.
That is not how that works.
I like the idea that you just lower the tone of your voice a couple octaves and just like sound like it's important.
That was his declaration voice.
A declarative voice. Just sound like you own it and you own it. Dang it. Yeah, I like it.
I like it too.
Corey Majors, the innovator right there. From the 682, this would be great. Kyrie Irving. Especially now that he's passed a lot of the like drama and his past stops. And he seems a lot more down to earth and he is a lot more open. With us, at least, I feel like the DFW media treats him really well, and he does the same for us.
Yeah.
So I feel like he would actually be willing to do that and kind of show you, hey, like, this is what I do. And he's really interesting, too. Just like the lifestyle he lives and whatnot. You'll see him when he's healthy just popping up at parks and playing basketball with random people. Like, I'd love to see the inside, the inner machinations of that.
That's a big word.
Yeah. I'm trying to hit, I have like a quota of SAT words to hit this week. Trying to expand the vocabulary here.
And I do believe it seems as though Stephen Jones, 1145.
All right.
So I will tell you this very quickly. Lego trafficking is a thing. And it's actually becoming a major...
Legos are expensive, man!
They are! And it's actually becoming a major issue in the state of California. California police have arrested a man accused of running an organized Lego theft ring.
recovering tens of thousands of pieces and boxed sets from his home in what officers described as a, quote, systematic resale operation. The Santa Rosa Police Department said detectives discovered the stockpile early this morning.
Oh.
North of San Francisco, where tables and bins were covered with loose bricks, minifigures, unopened sets, and some of the pictures that they shared on social media are weird. They've got just like the heads of minifigures all arranged by their facial expressions and whatnot in giant rows. It's kind of creepy, if we're being honest, but this is a systematic thing. And they said that the value of the seized items from this person alone was over $6,000. But this investigation has been going on since September, and it remains ongoing because they're afraid there are more suspects, and the specific stores that have been targeted, they think they have footage of other people taking some of these sets, and they think it's all interconnected. So
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
What is the length of the investigation versus what you get out of it metric? So like you said, they've been investigating this since September. I get it. Crime is crime and it's no good. But if you've had like your task force or whatever for a month and you made a $6,000 bust, do you think they're like, come on, dude, like give me some more expensive stuff?
That number did kind of shock me when they're like Lego trafficking and made the big headline. And they're like, yeah, $6,000.
Kevin, at 1 o'clock today, there is a conversation about an even larger heist that took place.
Duplo trafficking.
Oh, no.
Come on. That was funny.
That was good.
Oh,
was
no.
Good. Oh, no. All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We will talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones in just a minute. But you saw a stat yesterday that said this was the most lead changes through seven games, the Cowboys at 22. This is the most in NFL history.
Okay.
And so I was looking at something, and I'm probably not going to say the NFL has more parity than ever, but this stat was amazing. There have been 26 games this year where a lead changed in the final 2 minutes of regulation.
Okay.
That is the most to start an NFL season in history. Now, obviously, we saw an improbable comeback with the Denver Broncos, but I want to know, like,
improbable.
Yeah, very improbable. What's a safe lead to y'all now in the NFL? Because it feels like maybe for some teams, even 17 points is tenuous. What's a safe lead?
Yeah, 24.
Okay,
I'm very serious about this.
I believe you,
because I think that, and it depends on how much time's left too. Like, how are you going into a certain quarter here, Kevin? When you say safe lead, because if it's the first quarter and I'm up 24, I have problems still.
Yeah,
like, anything can happen the rest of the game. Like, I could get shut out in the second half. So 24 in the fourth quarter, I'm feeling pretty good. Like I can run some plays that are going to knock some clock off. Or if I'm one of those guys, it's like, no, I've gotten this this defense beat. I can run enough offensive plays to say we're going to score again and bump that thing up just a little bit more. But I feel like 24 should feel safe. But we are at the point where Golden State has started shooting three-pointers in the fourth quarter, and we don't know what to do about it anymore.
Yeah, the Giants were a great example. Prior to yesterday, teams who were shutting out their opponent and led by 18 points or more going into the fourth quarter were 161-0 in the last 18 years, and then the Giants appeared. And the Broncos scored the most points ever for a team that had been shut out in the first three quarters. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. If you get shut out in the first three quarters, I don't think you're going to go crazy, let alone score 33 points. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Now, this isn't really a question. I guess I kind of wanted to know what your reaction was as well. But on that Javonte Williams run to the 2-yard line right before the end of the half, my 3-year-old son was watching the game with me and he said, wow, and then goes, that was awesome. Is that about the same reaction that you had to that play?
I would say spot on. It was holy smokes. What did he just do? And what an impressive year he's having for us. And obviously, we're fired up for him and what he's brought to the table, his toughness, the way he takes the fight to the opponents, and, you know, just a great compliment to what Dak and, you know, our passing attack's doing. So, you know, yesterday, I wouldn't say firing on all cylinders, but we were making a lot of big plays.
How big has it been for this team that you guys have just absolutely, not just yesterday, but the whole season, dominated the last couple of minutes of the first half? That feels like a huge springboard into halftime and beyond.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the turnover ratio. If you win the turnover battle, you'll probably win a game. If you can, you know, score at the end of the first half and also come back out and get a double and score to start the second half, you got a great chance of winning a lot of games. And we probably can do better coming out of the second half. But obviously, we have done really well. And I really think it's a great springboard and momentum builder for the second half when our offense makes plays like that.
Shoddy said that he spent more time involved in defensive meetings last week. How does he find time for that? And then B, was he helping bridge ideas that Flus is trying to get across to the players, or do you think it was more like when a principal sits in on the math class and everybody just kind of acts better?
No, I think it's the former. I think, you know, at the end of the day, Shadi can bring, you know, we call it self-scouting a lot to the table in terms of looking at our defense and, hey, this is how I would come after you. And here's where I think we're, you know, vulnerable. And certainly I wanted to spend more time really walking through, you know, with Matt kind of where he thought we could do some things that would make it more challenging. And, you know, to me, it's just, you know, it's hats off to Coach Schottenheimer. I mean, taking the ball and run with it, that's what great head coaches do. They're, you know, head coach, everybody wants to say, well, he's an offensive guy or a defensive guy. You know, the great ones, I think, are involved in everything. I mean, Bill Parcells was involved in the special teams meetings, the defensive meetings, the offensive meetings. He did it all. But I think it also goes, you know, it's a great compliment to the group Shadi has over there between Chimko and Clayton and those guys that, you know, he's confident that, you know, they'll get him the information he needs so he can call the type of game he wants to call and understand the game plan.
Oh, for sure. I also saw a story that K-9 Kenneth Murray held a couple extra meetings with the defense, and I'm just kind of wondering how much you feel that communication, that leadership helped this week, and you want to see more of that going forward?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you're looking for is communication and dialogue. I think that's how you execute. And those guys getting in a room on their own and making sure they're communicating out there, you know, that's where consistency starts to creep in. If you can really, you know, take what the coaches are giving you and then take it to another level and, you know, meet with your guys. And, you know, he's certainly one of the big communicators out there on the field for us. And, you know, for him to be having those meetings, hats off to him. And, you know, that's what it takes if we're going to get better as a defense as we progress here. And that's obviously the goal. I think we took some good steps yesterday. Obviously, we know we still have a lot of work to do there.
How have you felt, or how did you feel about this last week of practice? Because Schottenheimer said, hey, good week of practice. We wanted to get more physical. One of the first things Dak said yesterday was, hey, we need to have another good week of practice. How did you see a difference in practice this past week leading into this game?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the, you know, when we met, you know, the telltale too, we meet on Fridays with our coordinators. And they absolutely said it was their best week. Coach Eberflus was really pumped up about the week we had and the way we executed during practice. And, you know, I just think it's a given going all the way back to the Jimmy Johnson days. When you had great weeks of practice, you usually play good on Sunday. And certainly we had a great week of practice, and I totally agree. We have to keep putting that together. Putting those days together and stacking them up, and we'll improve on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, we still got a lot of room for improvement as well. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Coach Schottenheimer and his staff are going to be pushing these guys to meet standards, and I expect that to happen.
You know, when you talk about the potential improvements on offense, that's something that, again, Dak said as well. He goes, the sky's the limit. What does an even better version of this offense look like right now? Because it's clearly been ridiculously good so far.
Yeah, well, we hadn't had our meetings, but I know there were a couple drives there in the late in the second quarter, you know, where we shot ourselves in the foot with holding penalties and, you know, penalties that set you back, and they're hard to overcome. And so you can start with things like that, and then there's just the overall general play. And, you know, we'll see more about it as we move forward. But there's no question in my mind we can play even better on the offensive side of the ball.
We always want George Pickens to catch the ball. But I was telling Kevin earlier this morning, I was like, it doesn't even matter if he catches it. He's a threat. He changes the way defenses have to look at this team because of his ability to go deep. And it can be a pass interference. It can be a catch. It can be so many different things. But the fact that he's a threat gives Dak so many more options. Is that what you're seeing right now? And is that the
Absolutely.
Impact you expected?
Yeah. I mean, look at the year. We just start to go through them. I mean, look at what Javonte's doing. Look at what Ferguson is doing with, you know, his production on numbers of receptions and touchdowns. I think it's, you know, CD, unfortunately, has been hurt. Had a little window there where he was hurt. But I think it loosens everything up on him as well. And then, you know, you got the guys you know, who complement the rest of them, whether it's a Turpin, whether it's a Flournoy, whether it's a JT, you know, everybody's getting in the mix. I think, you know, one thing that was exciting to me, we had a penalty on the play, which is what we got to get out of the game is, you know, our game is, you know, we got to reduce these penalties. I mean, you're going to have some, it's inevitable, but, you know, I love the play Blue made when he went for about 15 down the right sideline.
Yep.
You could really see the juice and the speed that he can bring to this offense when you get him in space.
Now, it feels as though, or it seems as though, Overshown made the announcement himself this morning. Has the 21-day window been opened for him?
Yes, he is so fired up. And, yes, we'll be opening that window with him, and he'll start to work back in. And I know he's fired up. I know our training staff's fired up. He's been itching at the bit to get back, but we wanted to make sure, you know, after coming off two injuries, unfortunately, that he was 100% ready to go. But he's got to get, you know, he's going to have that ramp-up period where he gets in football shape. You know, hadn't been in, you know, didn't get any work in the off season or training camp. So, obviously, there's work to do there. But, you know, it'll probably take the full allotted 3 weeks for him to get prepared. But hopefully after that bye, he'll be ready to play football.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Mingo is coming to the end of his window, if that is correct. Where do y'all stand with him?
We'll activate him, for sure.
Okay.
So he'll be moving up and be on the roster and competing to get snaps. Obviously, that receiving room's gotten gotten pretty spicy. You're going to have to get in there. But he does. He brings an element with his game, you know, that we don't have. He's obviously got rare size and speed, and he's a physical player, and he'll certainly be wanting to get on the field.
And last thing before we let you go, Stephen, actually, never mind.
Hold on. Well, if he's got a last thing, my last thing I was going to ask then was, from a football strategy point, it probably made sense, but there's 6 minutes and 59 seconds left to go in the game yesterday. You guys are up at 20 by 22 and sitting right at about midfield. Did you also kind of want Brandon Aubrey to get the shot at that record field goal?
I'm sure everybody talked about it. He already set one NFL record yesterday. I think he's now holds the most 60-plus yard field goals in the history of the NFL. So, yeah, we were up there chuckling. It'd kind of been nice to let him go for it, but we understand.
All right, then I will ask that. I love Brandon Aubrey.
Done now.
So I'm glad you asked that. Do you happen to have any update on Diggs and what happened last week?
No further updates. No, other than obviously had an accident at home, and you know, it was one that kept him from playing. Hopefully, he'll be back ready to go to work this week.
Well, we appreciate the time as always, good sir. Congratulations on the win. We'll catch you next Monday.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
There you go, Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, two things. I'm dumb. I did not understand what Corey was doing. The motion was Diggs. I didn't understand.
I was giving him the shovel.
Yeah, I did not understand.
I was like, don't forget to ask about this.
I didn't understand what he was doing. That was on my list of questions, but that's why when you were like, last thing, I go, oh, he means Diggs.
He was like, yeah, he's definitely digging deeper on this. Yeah,
I really didn't get where you were going with that, but that's why I was like, I need to ask the field goal question. Because that was my main disappointment from yesterday is he was in position. It was either going to be 67 or 68, depending on the spot. And I think 67, but it would have been for the record. And I really wanted to see that happen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, since we switched things around, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Drake May breaks a Tom Brady record and give Matthew Stafford a sword.
Do it.
Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.